Telephone call is coming up a little bit later on. First up, we are efforting, and I will find a senior writer for CBS Sports, the host of the Pick Six NFL podcast. We consider him a very good friend of the program. He is also the preeminent sports beer analyst and reporter currently living and working and drinking in Raleigh. He got dunked on by LeBron James, believe it or not. The second North Carolina legend on the program today. He is none other than Will Brinson, and he is back. Hey, Boomer, what's up?
What's going on,
Jim? Man, what's up, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about all North Carolina show today? You got Torrey Holt,
good. Yeah,
Greensboro with NC State. Me and Raleigh. You got Seth Curry. You're loading up on the old NC today.
Yeah, man, it feels good too. It feels good. And you being the North Carolina legend that you are, let me start right there, Will. It's good to have you back. What do you think of how the Panthers went about conducting their search and then hiring Matt Rhule?
Well, I'll tell you this, Jim. Anytime you take a private plane and land at somebody's house before they get back from their Cabo vacation, help them unload their baggage while they're wearing a Avocados from Mexico t-shirt, and then offer them $70 million to up their family and come to North Carolina and be your coach for the next 7 years, you did a pretty good job. I mean, if that's like David Tepper, when he was at Appaloosa Management, his multi-billion dollar hedge fund, used to keep, and I don't think he still does this, but he used to keep a literal pair of giant brass balls on his desk. And I would say that adequately, you know, describes his style of management and style of hiring. And I do like the idea that they found this guy in Matt Rhule who had gone to Temple and fixed a program that was 4-7. Steve Adazio had just left them. Who knows why they hired him after 4-7, but they did. BC did. And then he goes to Baylor. And you take this program that's in absolute shambles, that is at the lowest point that you could possibly be as a school, as a football program, and he gets them to 11 wins and nearly gets them in the playoffs. And I think that sort of CEO mentality, that approach towards delegating responsibility, part motivator, part program builder, part CEO, et cetera, to me, I think that's what is going to work better in today's NFL, as opposed to hiring somebody who's just an X's and O's guru and then saying, hey, figure out how to be a manager on your own. I mean, I like the hiring of Matt Rhule. I think they were aggressive in their pursuit. They didn't want to let him get to the Giants. You beat out an opponent for him. And you give this guy the job security to come in and build a sustainable winner in a place that has seen spurts of winning over the past, you know, couple of decades, but has never had a lengthy stretch of great seasons.
He is a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. He is Will Brinson. I agree with you, Will. I love that hire. Let me ask you this. With all the head coaching hires that have been announced this week, Will, are you at all surprised that Josh McDaniels is not one of the guys with a new job?
Extremely surprised. And you know, especially considering, Jim, this is the first time since 2009 that that he's been able to interview without the shackles of planning for a Bill Belichick game plan, right? I mean, you know, he's always been a guy who's been in the mix because, you know, he's Josh McDaniels. He's done a great job. He had some success at Denver before an epic flameout. But at the end of the day, it was tough to interview him because he was planning for the Patriots playoff games. And now he's free to do it. And it's crazy that he got left at the altar. Ironic, too, that he got left at the altar by both the Panthers and the Giants. Never got to interview for either one of them. Panthers hired Matt Rhule. And, of course, the Giants hired Joe Judge. I would not be surprised at all if Josh McDaniels ended up going to Cleveland. I do think, though, that part of the problem, you know, with what's going on in Cleveland and why Josh McDaniels might not take that job is there is constant disharmony between the front office and power struggles as to who gets Jimmy Haslam's ear. And you can tell. I mean, like, you don't have to have inner workings of that front office and that franchise to understand that there's dysfunction at a management level going on there, and that Jimmy Haslam is, you know, bouncing back and forth on what he thinks. So Bill Belichick and Tom Brady might end up being big winners here because they could land Josh McDaniels back with the Patriots when it seemed like a fait accompli that he was leaving.
We were talking to Will Brinson. All right, Will, what about the matchups this weekend? I know you're all over this. Why don't we start with the Vikings and the 49ers? You had a feeling before the Saints game that Minnesota might be able to not only hang with them, but flat out beat them straight up. What did you see in them that made you think they had that kind of a shot?
Well, I was just wishing that my preseason Super Bowl favorite or my Super Bowl pick would
right.
Look, I think that what they got Adam Thielen back and they got Dalvin Cook back, and this is a team that, you know, when they have their top end offensive weapons, Jim, they are capable of being as good on offense as anybody in the league. And there's maybe a reason why the Browns haven't hired anyone. They could be waiting out offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. He's taking a full-blown approach towards using play action. They have the offensive line to make that work in terms of a, you know, quote-unquote establishing the run and then taking shots downfield. When you can flood in that Gary Kubiak scheme, when you can flood Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph across the perimeter on bootlegs for Kirk Cousins, it works out really well. Dalvin Cook, explosive in the receiving game. I mean, I think he ran as well as anybody in the NFL in terms of just pounding between the tackles this year when he was healthy. And they have all those guys out there. That offense can be really tough to beat. It's going to come down to, can they win the matchup of that offensive line against the 49ers defensive line? And if they can win that matchup, and physically, like straight up, I don't think they can, but if they can scheme it up enough where they get those guys on their heels and can sort of push downhill in the run game and they can set up that play action, I think they can win it. If they do that, they can go to San Francisco and win this game too. And don't sleep on what those edge guys did, Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin. I mean, they put a hurting on Drew Brees, and they beat up a really good offensive line in the Saints. And if they bring that kind of pressure against San Francisco, there's no telling what the ceiling is for this Minnesota team.
Will Brinson joining us. Will, also, one more note. I just noticed that Adam Schefter just tweeted that Thielen is now, quote, questionable for the game. He suffered a cut in practice yesterday. Does that change the way you see that matchup at all?
Yeah, the Vikings listed him as questionable, and he said on Good Morning Football this morning that he's doing media rounds, which is kind of weird for a guy who's questionable in the playoffs, but it makes you think he probably will play. He said he's going to do everything he can to get out there. I think Tom Pelissero of NFL Media had video of him sort of walking around practice, not limping, but, you know, not doing a whole lot. I would anticipate they take it easy on him, you know, the next 48 hours. It's going to be tough. I don't think he's going to be out there at maximum speed, and yeah, it does make a difference. He's a difference maker in that scheme, in that offense, because of his route running, his hands, his ability to get open, not just out of pure physical will, but also by utilizing his routes, et cetera. So I think it's a huge difference. They need him out there. They can win without him, but they might need him to be a major decoy. And if he's not out there, I wouldn't be surprised if that line moves from like 6.5 to 7 or maybe 7.5 or 8.
We're talking to Will Brinson. All right, so what about the Titans? They go into Foxborough. They manhandle the Patriots. Will, how different, though, is the challenge that they're going to face this weekend when they go to Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson. So Pro Football Reference, Jim, does their stat, approximate value, which attempts to, you know, cross all positions for all, you know, all seasons and figure out who had the most valuable year. Lamar Jackson, it was released today. Lamar Jackson, 26, which would tie LaDainian Tomlinson as the most valuable season of all time, which is pretty impressive since he only played 15 games. This team is as good a team as we've seen in the last, I don't know, probably since the 07 Patriots. I mean, this Ravens team is incredible. One thing to watch, though, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Pete Prisco pointed out on my podcast, Pick Six Podcast. You can go subscribe and listen to it on Apple Podcasts. Friday's episode will be out. We recorded it on Wednesday. He went back and watched the 2012 Super Bowl, and Dean Pease, who's the current Titans defensive coordinator, then Ravens defensive coordinator, was going up against Greg Roman, then 49ers offensive coordinator, now Ravens offensive coordinator, and who used Colin Kaepernick in the same style system that they used Lamar Jackson. And Pease had Terrell Suggs stand up as an edge rusher on the outside, and he would chip on the tight end, and then he would watch that mesh point and see what they were going to do. So, and it worked out really well. They got up 28-6 in that game. That warrants watching. How will they use Harold Landry? How will they use Rashad Evans? Can Dean Pease cook up a formula the way that he cooked one up against Colin Kaepernick to beat his old team and Lamar Jackson on an offense that is basically runs in a similar fashion? This is a crazy good game for X's and O's purposes. I think the Titans can hang. It's going to be paramount, though, that they not get down early in the first quarter. If they're down 14-0 or something like that, it's a runaway freight train. Lamar and company will kill them, and it'll be over. If they can limit Lamar early, get a touchdown from Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry, and then uncork Derrick Henry downhill, this is a Titans team that can pull off the upset.
Will Brinson joining us. All right, Will, in the first half against Buffalo, Houston could not have looked any worse offensively than they did. But then, of course, everything changed in the second half, and Deshaun Watson bailed them out once again. How much of a chance do you give them against Kansas City on Sunday?
Like 5%. I think the Chiefs are going to slaughter them, Jim. Look, Patrick Mahomes has played as well as anyone. His last seven games in 2019 were probably the best, I think, seven games of his career. I know statistically it doesn't match up, but you see the way he's mastering Andy Reid's offense. He's in total control. Throw a blizzard down in Kansas City, no problem. We got this. Go up against a good defense, bad defense. Bill Belichick, he doesn't care who it is. He was playing exceptional football. They have all the weapons in place to light up this Houston Texans secondary. They will be able to score at will. Houston won't be able to stop them. And the problem with Bill O'Brien and the way that this Texans team operates is they're sort of like a, I don't know if it's rich man's or poor man's, but it's one of the two version of the Seattle Seahawks, where they like to run with Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson on first and second down. And then when it's third and long or when they're down a bunch of points, they're like, hey, Deshaun, sorry, we sort of screwed up. Could you go fix this with us and do that magic thing where you get sacked but don't get sacked and bomb it down the field and get open? That'd be great. Thanks. Yeah, go do that. And that's not going to work against this Chiefs team. They're too explosive on offense, both in the short passing game to the running backs, as well as Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, I mean, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman. They're loaded. And defensively, it's the best Chiefs team that Andy Reid's ever had. This team, they came on like gangbusters. They finished as a top 10 by DVOA defense. And I think that this is probably the future Super Bowl champion if I had to pick right now in the Chiefs.
They are so much better defensively the last several weeks. One last thought. Well, as you pointed out, the Packers, two worst offensive games this year, came against the Chargers and the 49ers. That's significant because those two defenses are led by Pete Carroll proteges. So how do you see that matchup of Seattle's defense and Green Bay's offense going?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like Matt LaFleur's offense just struggles against that cover three zone that they like to bring. Now, granted, there is some Jimmy Joe's factor here, right? Like you got to have the players, and the Chargers have, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. 49ers have Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner. They're loaded on the defensive line, right? I do think though that Seattle has a better defense than people think, and the way that Jadeveon Clowney played. I know people get all hot and bothered about the hit on Carson Wentz, and that's fine. Clowney played his tail off against the Eagles. And if he comes playing like that, smelling that blood in the water in free agency, you can imagine a situation where Clowney ends up having a monster game. They get after Aaron Rodgers. That team gets behind. I don't think they're built to come back. This is going to be a crazy game that comes down to probably a final possession. But I think the Seahawks are going to go into Green Bay and figure out a way to win, mainly because – that defensive matchup, and Russell Wilson is an unkillable playoff zombie.
I was just about to say, Will, if you can get Russ Wilson +4, I mean, that's always a pretty good thing. Can you see Seattle beating them straight up, though?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and you know what, Jim, it's kind of crazy. Like, if you think about the path for Seattle, they can go to Green Bay was a lucky team, too. They're flawed. It's a team that's beatable with what Seattle has, in my opinion. They can go into Seattle and win, and then they might just have to go to San Francisco to beat a team they already beat in San Francisco, or go back home to beat Minnesota to beat a team in Minnesota they already beat at home to get to the Super Bowl. Imagine the Seahawks team getting to the Super Bowl. It makes no sense. And yet I wouldn't want to count out Russell Wilson, especially in Wisconsin where he also went to school.
I don't know that the guy's ever looked better or played better than he is right now. I think the guy looks amazing.
And you're not just talking about the hair either, right?
No, that's amazing. I mean, that's amazing. There's some things you can't teach. He is a CBS Sports senior writer. He is the host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast. He's a friend of the program. Hey, Will, were you really dunked on by LeBron? That's true, right?
Yeah, true story.
What was that like? What happened?
You want to hear the quick, dirty story?
Yes, I do.
It was at his high school gym. I think it was a Nike thing. And they had a bunch of short, stocky sports writers playing 5-on-5. We're in the consolation game. And we're doing a center court, like about to do the tip thing. And we hear, yo, man, let me get in on that. And we turn around, and it's LeBron. And he was on the team opposite me. And the guy who the point guard dribbling up is like staring at LeBron, telegraphing the pass. I jump the lane, go sprinting down. And I'm about to lay it up, and all of a sudden LeBron just appears in front of me. I kick it out. I'm not trying to, get blocked like that. The next play, I sprint back to try and get on defense, and LeBron's coming full strength. And I step up to try and take a charge, and he literally – jumps over me and does the signature arm cock back thunder slam in his own high school gym as I'm just watching him fly above me.
That's so good, Will. Great job. And I know you established position. I got to get out. That's the end of hour number two. He's Will Brinson. He is a North Carolina legend. Hour number three, straight ahead.